Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
We have some guests today.
We do. This is quite the treat. What's better than one Father Ricardo, but more of you, more of your family members? It's a treat.
My two oldest sisters came. I have three sisters. One couldn't make it, but two of them came. And they also came with a friend. So Patricia and Laura came, and then they came with a friend. So I asked you before we started if you could guess which two were my sisters and which one wasn't.
I got 50% right.
You did pretty well.
Our producer got it exact. So your two sisters, where do they live?
So both live in Barcelona in two different neighborhoods. They took a week off to visit.
Well, welcome.
One had been here before recently. The other is the first time since my ordination.
All right.
And today they saw the Archdiocese for the first time. I was showing them where I work, where the office is.
Mm-hmm. Have they been to the parish yet already?
Yes. On the visit? Yesterday night. They just arrived and I showed them the parish. The rectory, the offices, the church. Our technology that we use in church, they were impressed with that.
All right. Well, by the way, nice ashes on your head.
Yeah. So
both of us, I assume you also had the mass with the school kids this morning.
Yeah, we have two masses today. The first one with the children and Ash Wednesday. Yeah, great day.
Beginning of the Lenten season, and then Sunday will be the first Sunday of Lent.
This is one of the things you've taught me, or one of the lines that you have produced in this podcast that I use, that it's like a reset season, like a kind of an opportunity to go back to the basics.
Yeah. It's got a start time and end time. And what I like about Lent is it's something that I think touches on all of us as human beings. We all have this sense that we need to repent, that we have a need to reconcile and to return to what's really what's most important for us as Christians. Of course, that's a relationship with God and prayer and a care for the oppressed and for the poor.
I think it's also an opportunity to slow down a little bit. We say that in Advent, but Lent as a penitential season, it also allows us to slow down and to base more our lives in these three pillars of Lent: prayer, almsgiving, fasting, opportunities to empty yourself a little bit. I appreciate this season very much. One of the things that people will see in parishes, music should slow down also, decoration should be at a bare minimum, and I think that's good for the soul.
It comes at a nice time of year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, where usually in the middle of winter, it's a little kind of a downtime, a slow time, or past the hectic reality of starting school. It's just a nice time where it arrives through the season, where I think we can slow down a little bit. So I think it's one of my favorite seasons, and many as well, partly because of just the time that it arrives in the year.
Purple or violet is the color of the season, a color that symbolizes both hope and penance. I would also like to add that the word that we translate as repent, that's what people will hear today, repent and believe in the gospel, could also mean change, only that we open ourselves to change and that we need to slow down to let Jesus come into our lives. I think it's a great way to understand the season. At Sacred Heart, we have one of these things you don't like. We have a
themes,
theme.
Yes.
And this season, we call the season Why. So we are going to answer questions of why do we do Lent? Why do we do penance? Why do we do why the desert, why the temptations, why all these many themes and topics that we discuss during a normal season of Lent.
So maybe we'll say a couple of words in the gospel, which I'll read in the moment, but maybe just a couple, because I think as we, you know, I think we need to emphasize these are the year A cycle of readings for Lent. They're spectacular. I mean, all the gospels are, of course, and these are designed in a very special way mm-hmm. for those who are coming to the Christian faith. You know, they're the ones that are used when you have those who are in RCAA, but always have been kind of held up by the church as having just really special importance. And so maybe we'll say a little bit, after I read it, we'll say a little bit about it, but kind of let the text speak for itself, I think.
Very good.
Where am I going to read from?
You're going to read for the first Sunday in Lent, we read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
It's the temptations. What we can explain is that the scripture in Lent, very interesting itinerary. We read in Ash Wednesday, part of the Sermon in the Mount that we've been reading the last few weeks in ordinary time. And then for the first Sunday, we will always read the temptations in the synoptic tradition, either Mark or Luke, but this year Matthew. Mm-hmm. Three very clear temptations. I always preach that first line, that he was led into the desert by the Spirit. So the reason Jesus goes into the desert and is tempted is because it's what God wants him to experience.
Right. A sobering reminder, I would say, that we're all tempted. So it's almost a little bit ironic as we advance in the spiritual life, as we advance in a life of holiness, sometimes I find that, and myself too, we can get frustrated that those temptations are there and they don't seem to go away. We would like for them magically to go away. And the reality is we're always going to be tempted. It's how we react to that.
I would have lots of questions. I would ask you, what are the temptations in your life? It may not be as obvious as people think. The temptations of Jesus, here we see the temptations of identity. The devil is asking Jesus, if you are the Son of God. That's how he begins the temptations. And it's a temptation for Jesus not to be who he was. Jesus was not about power, the temptation of power. Jesus wasn't about, what was the first one? He wasn't a miracle worker. He was like to turn
stones into bread.
Stones into bread. And what was the third one?
And the third one is all the kingdoms of the world. Yeah. You know, or all the, yeah.
That's the one of power, and then there's the one about jumping, not from
I don't know, how would you describe that?
I think it's the temptation of tempting God.
Yeah, no? right.
Let me do something wrong and see how God will have to save me.
Correct.
Those are temptations of identity.
Yeah.
And in Luke's tradition it's very clear, because it says at the end, and the devil would wait for a more appropriate time, and it's before the cross where Jesus is tempted again. Not to be the Son of God, not to be the person that goes to the cross to save others. And that's the final temptation. It would be very interesting, I think, to reflect about what are the real temptations in our life. If we are husbands, or we are sons, we are priests, we are many things, Are we tempted not to be what we are supposed to be?
What I'm finding as I'm getting older, just some fascinating things and slowly getting older, is one of these, I think it's a really important question, what tempts me? Mm-hmm. And I think, as you said just a couple minutes ago, it's not always what's obvious. You know, it's not always sort of those things we can sort of easily paint with a brush. The more that you think about it, there's something else behind that. Or I find as time goes on that despite what I think might be a big temptation, there are these other things that I kind of have blinders to that kind of drive behavior that might be unhealthy or I don't know. And we have a little bit, I think, as priests and anyone who works with people on a regular basis. So we're working with people. I think we have a little bit of an ability for these temptations to come out more often. So if you're sitting in a solitary place, of course, there'll be temptations, but you know, it's revealed in other people. So in our interactions with other people, you know, sometimes there's a mirror there that comes up where we see the difficulties that we have. So kind of a long way of saying, I think other people draw that out of us a little bit in hopefully a healthy awareness of where we struggle then as individuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think it's one of the points of the scripture that we read today, of the whole experience of the temptations. Jesus has to be very aware of who he is. And that's how you go through these temptations in our own lives. You have to be very self-aware. How many times we've discussed this, or it's a topic that I've preached about many times, that we need to know who we are. We need to know humility understood as where you are in the community. What are your talents? What are your shortcomings? And to be very open about it. A self-awareness is the trick for many, many of the difficulties that life poses.
And a self-awareness that is best then drives a generosity. So you know where your talents are and you really step forward, you lean into that, and just a generosity of spirit to say, okay, self-awareness is an awareness that I have gifts that were given to me by God and are really called for the good of others, for a communal life.
These 40 days in the desert, they shaped the season. It's how long Lent is supposed to be. If you discount the Sundays that are not considered actual days of penance, that's the 40 days people tend to think, and I think it's part of the meaning, that 40 years of the wandering of the desert of the people of Israel. But in Matthew, we know that Jesus is like the new Moses. And Moses is the one who went to the desert for 40 days also. And he comes back from that experience with the tablets of the law, with the stones, with the law. So it's some dynamic here going on also.
Right.
It's important, as always, to recognize that the Old Testament becomes like the foundation for this episode that we just read.
And remember, too, that numbers are important. They're not the biggest deal, but they're very important, especially as we look at Scripture. And the number 40 has connections to other places. It's not just arbitrary.
In the synoptic tradition, Jesus experiences the temptations before beginning his ministry. We begin our journey of Lent also with the temptations. It's a great analogy for us. Anything else?
I'm going to say the same thing that people around me know that I say very often. So especially here on Ash Wednesday, use the Lenten season well. As we said at the beginning of the podcast, it's such a beautiful season. It's this great tool that the church gives to us to say, here you go. Here are the structure with which to simplify your life, to return to that beautiful love of a merciful God, and this period of time to do it. So please have a plan in place. As an author has said, don't give up chocolate. You know, do something more significant than that.
I've said that when you said this line that those around you know. My line, which is previous to this author becoming famous saying that, is if you want to give up chocolate, give up chocolate. The money you save, give it to the poor.
Right.
Don't forget that that's the origin of that tradition. Mm-hmm. But also ask somebody who loves you what you should really give up. In addition to chocolate, they aren't going to say chocolate. Bishop Skelba used to say that also.
Yeah.
They're not going to ask you to give up chocolate. They are going to ask you to give up all these personality traits that we have that may be annoying to others. So it's a great opportunity to do this. Ask someone who loves you what you should give up beyond chocolate.
That's excellent advice. I'm gonna use that. That's really good advice. Mm-hmm. Give credit to Bishop Skelba or to you?
Bishop Skelba. Always. Right. Always.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. Saint of a man.
Not needing credit. That's something that I have changed a lot on that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go and hang out with
my family.
Yes. And we'll get together next week. Would that be okay?
I'll see you there.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.